Craig Michael Patrick, and this is Career Chat. Our guest for this episode of Career Chat is Rob Dahlmeier, editor of the Cincinnati Business Courier, where he writes weekly columns on business and economic topics, makes all hiring decisions, manages a staff of 14 editors and writers, and still finds the time to create and manage the budget for the Courier. Rob is a Miami University alum of 86, graduating with a double major in English and History. He served as an adjunct professor at Miami, teaching critical writing to seniors in Miami's journalism program. He's also won a number of awards for his work, including Best Weekly Business Newspaper in the U.S. from the Society of American Business Editors and Writers, first place for Best Columnist in Ohio by the Cleveland Press Club, and first place for Best Columnist in Ohio by the Ohio Society of Professional Journalists.
Okay, Ramblers, let's get rambling.
Rob launches this episode of Career Chat by offering some suggestions to sharpen those writing skills.
Write. That's what you have to do. You have to keep writing. You're going to get better. Nobody I know was a good writer when they started in journalism. Some people have a natural affinity for it, but it's one of those things like throwing a baseball. It's you get better the more you do it. And so if you're the kind of person who loves writing, really, I have to say that is half the battle. If you love sitting down and writing, you are halfway home. If it's a chore for you, if it's a challenge for you, when you get essay homework or papers that are due and it just starts to chafe at you, you may want to think twice about getting into journalism. But sharpening those writing skills takes practice. You need to just sit down and do it. And then hopefully you have somebody with some skills who can look at that writing and tell you where you've gone wrong, what they liked about it, what they didn't like about it. Another tip I would also give is the more you read, the better off you are. If you like to read magazines, get a bunch of them and read them every week. One of the ways I learned how to write was by reading good stories. And I didn't copy what I read, but I tried to use the themes and the tones and the stuff that really impacted me, I then took as my own and made it my own style. So the more you read, the better off you're going to be. You're just going to be more well-rounded. You're going to see people that are taking chances out there, writers that are not doing the normal, typical thing, and you're going to see if it works for you. And typically, if something speaks to you, if something really works for you, it's going to work for other people. And as long as you find your voice, you'll be in good shape. So I would say write a lot and read a lot. It sounds very simple, but you'd be surprised at how many journalists don't read enough and certainly don't write enough.
Reading and writing may be the key foundations to a career in journalism, but Rob tells us, upon his own graduation, a few other important traits are absolutely essential to kickstarting the career.
When I got out of Miami, I got a job at a business publication in Cincinnati. It was difficult to get a job, and as if you're in journalism, you know this, it's not the easiest career to kickstart, regardless of how great of a student you are, regardless of what kind of clips you had, regardless of what kind of sources you have and advisors you have. It is very difficult. This career rewards determination. So what I did, I sort of got lucky. There was a job in Cincinnati that didn't pay much, but I didn't care, and I took it. It was a new business publication and started at the bottom and just kept working my way up. And I was used to working hard. I was the sports editor at the paper at Miami. So I was used to putting in a lot of hours, and that was something I had to do with this job in business journalism. Even though sports and business don't have much to do with one another, I was used to working hard. I was used to going out and having to find my own stories. That's how I got my start. It was the kind of job where it was a sink or swim job. A lot of people tried it and hated it and got out of it and decided to, they left journalism and never looked back. Well, I just got in and was just determined to make it work. So I just went out and made a lot of phone calls to get that job and just hammered the phones. Wrote a lot of letters. This was in the dark days before the internet, so you had to do everything the old-fashioned way. I wrote a lot of letters. I made a lot of phone calls and just hoped to get lucky. And it's if I wouldn't have made all those calls and written all those letters, I certainly wouldn't have gotten the job.
Speaking of getting the job, We asked Rob if we could share some of the testing involved with acquiring employment at a major publication.
It depends on the job. For copy editors, we give copy editing tests. So there's actually written tests out there that that editors have sort of in their files that they'll give to prospective copy editors. And essentially, it's a series of sentences, paragraphs that have some mistakes hidden in them. And the copy editor's job is to go out and sift through that and find as many as possible. The more you find, the better you'll grade on the test. And it's a very, very sort of straightforward way to judge the quality of a copy editor. For a reporter, it's a little more difficult. I don't really have a test, but what I do look at are clips, which are what we call stories that you have written either for the school newspaper or if you've had a freelance assignment for somebody else in your life, or even if you wrote for your hometown paper or even your high school paper. That would be a sort of a test for a reporter that I would want their best five or six clips, the things that they are most proud of, the stories that they felt like they did the best job that most reflect their personality and their skills. I'll look through those, and that's a perfect litmus test for me because it's a way to see exactly what they would be doing for me. All stories have something in common, so I can learn something about a writer from these clips. Depending on whether they got good editing or not, that's something I always ask, hey, were you heavily edited? Because when I'm reading those clips, I'd like to know if this is their voice or if they had a really hard, hammering editor who changed everything. But we never hire anybody that doesn't have a good stack of clips. It doesn't matter where it's from, but they have to have those clips. That would be the test for reporters. And the copy editors, again, would be the actual copy editing test that we give. I tell you, journalism is a really interesting field. There's a lot of people in it who got into it because they didn't want anyone to boss them around. One of my best reporters actually he sold computers, and he hated it. So he came to us and decided he wanted to see if he could get some freelance stories from us whenever we had them. We didn't pay, I think we paid $50 a story at that point. This is about 15 years ago. He did such a great job that we kept asking him to do more. We kept asking him to do more. Every time we get a good assignment, we called Dan first. And finally, we had an opening and we hired him, and he hasn't looked back. So he had the most atypical career path you could think of, but he was just somebody who clearly should be in this business. And if that's the case, you will be found because he loved to write. He loved to work.
Loving what you do is a beautiful thing. And a great way to get started is making things happen for yourself with an internship. Rob explains.
Internships are, at least in my neck of the woods, very informal. There are some set programs, but a lot of times they just sort of come up depending on openings or if somebody left your newspaper, you may have a slot for somebody to fill in. Budgets change every year. Some years we'll have intern spots, some years we won't. The daily newspapers are the same way. You go to New York for the big magazines, they're the same way. They usually don't pay much at all. You're going to probably barely make enough money to make ends meet. But internships are a leg up because when I do get those resumes, I want to find out where you went to college. But if you were at college and you actually got a real-life newspaper or magazine or website to hire you, give you work, let you come into their office and sit down and start writing stories, that shows me that you got over a hurdle already before I've even talked to you. Now, internships can be difficult to get. But again, it's the same process as getting a job. You just have to keep hammering the phones, get in people's faces, don't leave them alone. One of the hallmarks of a good journalist is people who don't give up very easily. So if you don't give up easily when you're looking for that job, and I've hired a lot of people because they just wouldn't leave me alone. They had good clips. I didn't have anything open at the time, but they wouldn't leave me alone. And so sort of just to get them off my back, I gave them something to see if they could handle it. And the ones that did, I tell them all the time, you made this happen. Not me. So kudos to you.
A fundamental element in journalism is the journalist-editor relationship. We asked Rob about negotiating with your boss when it's time to edit your copy, and he expounds on yet another crucial characteristic to success in the field.
Negotiation's an interesting word to use there. I've never really thought about it that way, but it's a great word to use when you're working with an editor. Hopefully you have a good editor. So hopefully when you turn your copy into an editor, it's in good hands. A good editor has to be a teacher, a mother, a father, somebody that browbeats you, somebody that, assuages you when things are going badly, somebody that constantly tells you you're good at what you're doing but maybe a day later tells you that you need to get much better. It's a very difficult job for that reporter dealing with an editor. You really have to be open-minded. The most difficult relationships as an editor that I've had with reporters are people who can't take criticism. You really have to be open to somebody sort of ripping you apart a little bit. It's a very personal thing, writing a story. And when you turn it in and give it to somebody else, you're really opening yourself up to that person. And if that person comes back and says, you didn't do it, this didn't work, that can be devastating for some people. People that have been in journalism for a while, you start to build up, you get your Kevlar vest out, and you start to get a little bit better at handling it. But it's very difficult. It was difficult for me at the beginning. You have to sort of remain egotistical about what you're doing. At the same time, be very open to somebody saying, you didn't get it here. Now, that takes a good editor. If you have a bad editor and that editor tells you you did it wrong, chances are you're not going to want to listen to them, and chances are you're probably going to leave that publication. If you have a good editor, though, and you're open to criticism, and you're open to two-way feedback, and you sit down with that editor at that terminal with your story on the screen, and that editor can sort of work their magic on really massaging your text, most good editors will take any sort of criticism or feedback that reporter then has on top of what they did. It's a very, very symbiotic relationship that a good editor and a good reporter can have if it's working right. So negotiating is actually an interesting word there, because you can definitely get more of your key points into a story if you're easy to get along with, if you talk with your editor as a negotiator, as somebody who you're trying to do the same thing, versus a sort of a union company atmosphere where everybody's bashing each other's heads and saying, don't touch my copy, your copy stinks, don't touch my copy, your copy stinks. So the friendlier you are and the more open you are, the better you'll be and the longer you'll last in the industry, because you certainly, you don't want to come into work every day disliking or being fearful of your editor. It just doesn't work.
I wouldn't trust this overgrown pile of microchips any further than I could throw it.
It just doesn't work. That's a phrase we all relate to when it comes to dealing with technology in our respective lives. And while some jobs are lost because the technology landscape shifts, Rob indicates new opportunities also appear.
Technology is changing everything. I mentioned the internet. As far as the jobs go, a lot of jobs are being lost because of the internet, but there are a lot of jobs on the internet, a lot of good jobs on the internet. A lot of websites, web-only newspapers are cropping up, and they do fantastic journalism. They're supported by advertising, and they're really targeted. They're very cheap to put out. You don't have to mail anything. You don't have to print anything. You oftentimes don't even have to have offices. You can do it remotely. Sometimes if you have good editors, those are phenomenal places to work. They offer you a lot of freedom as to how you get your job done as well. You can do a lot with a computer and a wireless internet line. You can go anywhere, write anywhere about anything. That's really where the future of journalism is, and it's just a matter of trying to make your mark in that area. The more comfortable you are with technology, and I would even go further and say the more comfortable you are with how computers work in general, how to build a page on some of these new programs that are coming out for personal computers like InDesign and Quark, InCopy, programs like that, Photoshop, anything you can do along those lines. It's just sort of say, by the way, not only can I write a story, but I can help you lay it out. I can take photographs. I can get into Photoshop and manipulate those photos. That didn't used to be very important. As a matter of fact, it was not important at all. Now it's very, very important. If you can do that, if you have an interest in technology, by all means, show off. You know, get into that. I have a good friend who's a reporter who actually left reporting a couple years ago to get onto the IT side of newsrooms. So he travels the country right now working with newsrooms just on setting up their Apples, setting up their Macs to work perfectly with the servers and the networks, make sure we have the latest programs, make sure there's no bugs, make sure we all talk to one another. There's a lot of jobs there. And this guy was a journalist. So a lot of times companies will want that background so that you have a better understanding of the pressures and realities of a newsroom.
Rob wraps up this episode of Career Chat with some crucial advice to better conduct a job search for a career in journalism.
You have to write. You have to get clips. If you get out of school without a good stack of clips, you have done yourself a disservice. The difficult part, though, is that a lot of times colleges don't necessarily make you have those clips to get out of college. When I went to Miami in the 80s, I happened to have a lot of clips because I was a sports editor at the daily Miami Student newspaper, and so I had a lot of clips. I was in journalism classes with dozens and dozens of people who didn't have clips. They were journalism majors, but they didn't write for the newspaper. They didn't go out and try to get freelance assignments from other newspapers, and they got out of school with nothing. And that was the last we heard of them. I mean, I'm sure they got great jobs in PR or marketing or something else, but they sure as heck didn't get jobs in journalism. So if you are a beginning journalist, just get clips. If somebody wants you to write something that you think is a good publication, even if they don't pay you, write the story. Get the clip. It's yours forever. You can put it on a nice fancy piece of paper. You can laminate it, and you can send it out to everywhere that you're going to apply to. That's what I'm looking for. If you wanted a job with me, that's the first thing I'm going to ask for. That's the key. Now, the good thing about Miami is that you can get those good clips here. Now, this place is set up for you to get those clips. And what I mean by that is you've got a good student newspaper. You've got Cincinnati and Dayton nearby where there's a lot of publications looking for writers. And if you're determined and you have some stick-to-itiveness, you can really get that done. You can get those clips. Get that 5 or 6 really good clips. When you get out of college, you'll be sort of halfway there. If you don't have those, I don't know what to tell you. Hopefully it would not be too late to go out afterwards and get those, but it's never too soon to start. I actually knew a lot of guys who wrote, and women who wrote a lot in high school. They had some good clips coming into college, which made it easier to get internships. Internships are also very key to this career. Only way to get those is to get clips.
Career Chat is brought to you by Miami University's Office of Career Services.